Jireh. You are a provider. You are everything. And we ask that you'll open our hearts up and cause us to know more of you and more and receive more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. But that's going to be in the teaching as well. We're going to talk about the wisdom of God, and we're going to talk about man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And man, without Jesus, is what he is. He's fallen without Jesus. So we must look to Jesus in everything and everywhere. He is the perfect express will of the Father. And so let's go to Matthew 18:3. Hallelujah. Sorry. You know, God laughs all the time. Yes. Did you know that, Mary?
Yeah. No, but the girlfriend said, the Lord told him, he said, I did not have a serious moment until Adam sinned.
Yeah.
Then I was serious.
Mm. Yes.
So you're right. He's joyful. I'm glad.
I believe that he had a serious moment when he met with the Word and with the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the earth, and he knew that Adam would sell us to the devil, give us away, so to speak. And this was all planned. Our redemption has been planned since before he created the planet. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God. So Matthew 18:3, hallelujah. And verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the Lord started expanding on little children, right? Little children are humble, and they're giggly, and they're open, and they're forgiving. Right, Gianna? They forgive much, like our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And so you must be humble and dependent on the Lord. That's another thing children are. They're highly dependent on their father, their parents. Mm-hmm. They can't do anything, even though sometimes they think they can. But they haven't learned how to navigate socially and all the ways that grown-ups do so that things will work in their life. So we need to be humble, dependent, leaning completely on him. So humility is being dependent, expected of God, and children are always wanting to be with their daddy. We'll protect them like daddy will, and no one will love them as much as daddy does. They come from him. And so one of the ways that we can be like, that we can be children of God and walk in the wisdom of God is to be thankful. We talked about being thankful for in all things. And Chronicles 16:34, I've got a few scriptures on thankfulness, just a few. 1634, por favor. I said that with an English accent. Please, por favor. Praise God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you. We're honored.
1634?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah. His word is more sure than anything. There is nothing more sure than the Lord. He is life. People think, oh, he has so much life to give. No, he is life. He, you know, eternity is in him. Did you know that?
Wow, that's so good.
Isn't that something? I thought he was in eternity. No, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. In 2 Colossians 3:15-17, Miss Meredith, if you would please. Colossians 3:15-17.
Okay. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I apologize. Do you have another version? What version did you just read?
I wrote NIV.
NIV. What do you
have? New King James.
And you have King James?
New King.
Okay, could one of you read the New King?
Go ahead. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called, in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Hallelujah.
Can I make a point right here?
Please.
Look what it says about peace.
Yes, sir.
And let the peace of God rule. Now, most times people think peace is like tranquility.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not. It's up here ruling.
Yeah.
Here comes doubt.
It's a force. Put it down.
Put it down. Mm-hmm. It has the power and authority to keep your spirit settled.
Doesn't it say somewhere that Jesus is our peace?
Mm-hmm.
So let Jesus rule your heart. He is the peace.
He's the word.
Kelly, we're talking about like the oneness with Jesus. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
I've been watching. That's been good.
Of course, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So
I believe it's also a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, he's got fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
If we're one with him, we're connected to the fruit.
Amen. You're going to bear.
Mm-hmm. We know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and that's what gives us peace is his word, because he is his word.
You know, I noticed that it said, let the peace of God, which indicates that you have a choice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're invited to come to a table, which is called life, and there is the kingdom of God, and then there's the world system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the world system will try to pressure you and train you, but the Word of God is trying to train you. The Holy Spirit is training you. He's your teacher.
Yeah.
He's the one sent by God. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about it saying let peace, and how you have to actually make the decision to let it rule in your heart. In the same way is in John, where it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So you actually have to let it be afraid. You don't have to. It's a choice. You cannot let it be afraid. Not let your heart be troubled.
So good.
You can let peace. It's like that's the other side of it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let peace rule in your heart.
You know, that's so good, because some people say, well, I can't. I tried. God didn't ordain you to try.
No.
God ordained you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Be in peace. Choose life.
Overcome.
Know him. Be in Christ. These are the things. This is who you're called to be. You're called to be a child of God.
To put off the old self.
That's it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creature.
Amen.
To get into the Word. Get into the Word.
And you know why you got to get into the Word? Because it's gonna renew your mind. It's going to wash and cleanse you. It is so anointed. Oh, hallelujah.
It's called the gospel of peace.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Praise God.
No, I think that's a wonderful y'all point out so good. It's, we have to choose not to worry. We have to choose not to be in fear. It's like pointed out, it's our choice. Isn't it wonderful? I can be threatened, you know, or the house be threatened by weather, but I can choose to be at peace and then rule.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I like what you said, brother, that the Word, getting in the Word, because the Word is what brings your awareness to the reality of Jesus. You know, this whole book is Jesus. I mean, the whole thing is a revelation of the Son of God, which is the Father manifested.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Jesus is.
Life.
Yeah. He is the very Spirit of life. And I know the Holy Spirit, it's a Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're each in three individual persons, but just like we have three individual dimensions to us, right?
Yeah.
He does also, because we're created in his image and likeness. So praise God that we can indwell the Word. Yay! Okay. Anyone else have anything else to say about the peace of God?
I like it.
I do too, because sometimes when we're doing things that we don't want to do, we can cleave to that peace. We can cling to it. We can say, okay, devil, you know, which is disruption and torment and fear and controllingness and all this kind of stuff. Or you can say, I'm going to let the peace rule, and the peace is ruling over my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. We're called to proclaim the Word,
mm-hmm.
and the Word is peace. So when we proclaim it, when, you know, it's funny, we to have the word in our mouth, coming out of our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, that is how we overcome. The testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Testimony of the word of hope.
Yes, sir. The word that He's our peace. He is our peace. Okay. Psalm 30:12. Pastor John, you haven't read, have you?
No, ma'am.
Psalm 30:12. Third psalm. I was testing you.
To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. The Lord my God, I'll give you thanks forever.
My God, He'll forever be your God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He is forever sitting on the throne. And we can thank Him. And you know, it says in a Psalm 100, verse 3, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. With praise. That's what it says. With praise. So, and I think the reason God is bringing all of this up to how to operate in His wisdom is because He wants more fellowship. He wants more fellowship with us. Yeah. He doesn't, I was reading in, I don't know if it was Luke or Matthew, where Jesus is telling the believers, get away from me. I didn't know you, you evildoers of iniquity. And they said, well, we cast the devils out in your name. We did all these things for you. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. And you can be anointed for ministry, but we need to be anointed in our personal walk with God. Yeah. You know, and those are two different anointings. And sometimes the Lord doesn't want us to get caught up in thinking that the anointing for ministry is the same as our personal anointing, our personal time with Him.
Well, you have to have that time with Him personally before you're going to be effective in it.
That's right.
Well, I have a story about that's right. It's fascinating. I heard a pastor testify. He said, I was doing television tapings in the Isle of Patmos, and I invited a Greek scholar and a pastor from Orlando, Florida. They pastored a 6,000 or 8,000 member church. And he said that, so he flew the pastor out with him from Florida because he was going to teach on Revelation, the four horsemen. He was going to teach on that. And the Greek scholar would say something, and the pastor would look at the one from Florida that he flew in, and he said, 2 days of taping, and he didn't say a word. Not a word. And so he said, it was time for this guy to talk. And he didn't. Finally, when the cameras turned off, he said, are you going to say something? I really need you to pull it out of me a little bit. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, don't you read the Bible? He said, not really. He goes, how do you pastor an 8,000 congregation church and you don't read the Bible? And he said, you're called to learn about the end times and all this eschatology, and I'm here helping people. He says, so how can you help them? And he said, I just read books, Christian books, and out of that I help them. And this pastor said, between two and six months later, that pastor OD'd of drugs in New York City in a hotel room.
Wow.
He said, brother, it's dangerous to be ministering without the word.
Oh, wow.
Apart from the word of God. And it doesn't matter what office you hold in.
Right.
You know, if you're on the worship team, if you're pastoring, if you're evangelizing, whatever, we are called to be grateful to God and walk in the wisdom of God, which is His word. Hallelujah.
That's
scripture.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's it. Please. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
You called Psalm 30, verse 12.
Yes.
We used to sing a lot of scriptures.
Praise God.
And we sang verses 11 and 12, which says, you've turned for me my mourning into dancing.
Yeah.
You have put off my sackcloth. Now, it doesn't say I'm supposed to put it off. It says you. Mm-hmm. You put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. And because of that, or to the end that, my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give praise to you forever.
Praise God. We're called to open our mouth, aren't we?
Amen. And also, if you're sad, you're supposed to just dance.
Yes.
Dance to the born of the Lord, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very powerful, worship. Hey, it's powerful. It is powerful. There's a lot more involved with dance and singing. And if you're not dancing and you're not singing, I think there's a little bit of bondage going on somewhere.
Somewhere.
Because, you know, if you think about it, why have you been delivered? Why have you been set free? To worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
To worship Him and to know Him as a Father. Who doesn't want to love on their lover? You know, He is our lover. You know, not in a perverted sense. Obviously, there's nothing perverted about Him. He's perfect. Thank you for pointing that out. That's awesome. That's just awesome. Okay, Isaiah 12, 4 through 5. Always laughing. Sitting on the throne, knowing that there is no weapon that is formed against us that will ever prosper.
Right. Psalms chapter 2 says, He who sits in heaven laughs.
Hallelujah. Yes,
laughing all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, we should be imitators of God.
May I say something?
Yes, sir.
What you said about a God, but that we need to develop a personal relationship.
Yes, sir.
You were talking about the ministry. There's ministry doing the own thing, right? Well, that's the very thing Satan did. He broke out what God called him and made him to do and did his own thing. Look at them, it brought corruption.
Yeah.
So if we're ministers like you pointed out, we have to be dedicated personally to God, personally, in what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
If we don't, then we're doing our own thing. Even though we are doing what He calls us to do, if we don't do what He tells us and follows the leading of the Spirit of God, then we'll do the same thing Satan did.
You know? Yeah, independent. That's pride. That's flat out pride. Living independent of the Lord is.
Sure, yes. It's a step. Woman tells you what his main motive is. He said, "Does God say?" No. He if you don't eat of that tree, you won't be able to be like God. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, Satan's view of God was he's just independent.
Yeah.
He's a creator, but he's not independent. He fellowship, he loves, he cares.
Yes, yes.
He's kind.
Yes, he grieves.
Relationship. Yeah. I mean, Satan don't want a relationship, he wants rule.
Yeah, like a communist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But God the Father could rule, you know, with his own. Well, I mean, like dominate.
Yeah, if anybody could.
Fortune, but it's not that way. He wants the fellowship and work.
Yeah, it's sweet to him. The fellowship between him and his man is so sweet to him.
When you start getting desires to be independent, that's not from God.
You know, there's a gauge for that independence. If you begin to lose hunger to talk to God, you're in the ER room laying on a gurney with an IV stuck in you. I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in trouble.
It's the truth.
You start drying up and you don't desire the things of God. It's time to get on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And say, God, fill me afresh. His mercies are new every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not listening for that, right?
He's
to hear you say that, right?
Just something.
He paid the highest price.
That's right.
For fellowship.
That's it.
He paid the highest price so that his man could come back to him and they could live the life that he envisioned, like, you know, the angels. You know, it's interesting to me that angels never say to God, I love you, and he never tells angels he loves them. That's reserved for man. And I really appreciate what you guys were talking about at church a couple Sundays ago about animals. And there is a demonic spirit in the world that is trying to elevate animals at the same level as people. It is demonic.
There's children's movies all over the place even that are trying to do that same thing.
So I appreciate what you guys were saying that Sunday about that, you know, you're not called to love things.
Mm-hmm.
You're called to love humans.
That's right.
First of all, people don't value the love that God's placed in them. it's not worthy of an inanimate object. It doesn't belong there because it doesn't, you know, when the devil came to Jesus, and you can't do anything to me because there's none of you found in me. Right. There's nothing that it goes together. It doesn't go together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How can light walk with darkness? It doesn't. Yeah. It repels each other.
That's right.
And, you know, I hear people say also about how wicked the devil is. It comes from the word wicker, and he'll take a lie and put a little bit of the truth and twist it all up. And the Lord told me today, he can't touch the truth. It's straight up lie.
That's it.
Yeah. The whole thing is a lie. There's no truth in
That's
it.
Right.
And the reason it's so attractive to you is because there's lust in your heart.
Mm.
That's the reason that you're attracted to it. So if something comes to you and you prove it by the word, and if you can't prove it by the word, then you get before God and say, Lord, help me. There is a lust in my heart. There is there's uncleanness in my heart. There's something in here that I'm attracted to this, and I don't want anything to come between us. God wants that fellowship tight and close, and in him and in me and here in me and he's in you. And one, the unity. There's a lot of power in the unity. It's one of the mysteries, as a matter of fact, is the unity of the body of Christ.
I was going to point out that I think I just believe that one reason why we, you know, so many people, probably the majority of people, place affection or place love where it doesn't belong, mm-hmm. is that they, not maybe not consciously, but kind of subconsciously, think the love is coming from them. So yeah, it's not going to be as precious.
Which is pride.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
But when you realize it's God's love, it says His love endures forever. His love's been shed abroad in your heart. So once you realize you're loving not with your own love that just comes from your soul, basically, you know, it becomes precious to you.
So what do you do?
Realize where it should go and where it shouldn't go.
So what do you do?
I think it's
repent.
Yeah. Clean me up.
Leave it alone.
I heard this teaching today, and I'm still praying about this, so y'all take it in raw level.
Let's hear it, brother.
Is it when you love an animal, is it, I love this animal, you're trying to put a soul down in them.
Yeah. And you're trying to recreate it.
Animals don't have a soul. They have life that God has given them. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm still, like I said, it's raw inside of me because I just heard it today.
Wow.
You're trying to put a soul in a
there. In that creature. It's not human.
And they don't have the soul. Humans are only
one. Which is a rebellion to God. The same thing with the transgender movement. It's a rebellion, obviously. I'm going to create this the way I see fit. If I want to love on this animal, and this animal's going to love me back, and if you take that to the extreme, you're into some freaky stuff.
Yes, you are. Mm-hmm.
And you see the deception. People have disappointed me, and I can't love people, and so I'm going to love this animal. This animal's mine. Husband or my wife.
Yes. Yeah, my child.
This animal is my child.
Yeah.
This animal will return, or they may not return the same kind of love, but at least they won't hurt me like I've been hurt in the past.
And they, they're not going to do anything but do what they're conditioned to do.
And you know, there's people that will lock themselves away and not see anybody because they're conditioned.
So they don't see that as rebellion.
Yeah.
They just see that they're acting on their disappointment. See how sneaky the devil is. He's so sneaky.
But you know what? We give him too much credit. He's sneaky if you don't have the light in your heart.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Can I tell you that? You know, when like I was saying earlier about he sticks a little bit of truth. He can't speak the truth. It can't come. He's unclean. It can't come out. He can't. There is no. It's just words in his mouth. There's no spirit of God in there.
It's like when he tried to tempt Jesus. Jesus, of course, saw right through it because he would give something that had, it wasn't even a half truth, really, because if it doesn't check out 100%, it is a lie. It's not, you know.
Right.
There's no. Oh, you know, he knows the word he's giving. There's a little bit of truth in that. No, he's using it with the express purpose of lying.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
So,
isn't that something that says that the letter of the law kills? And there are some people say, well, I know the Bible backwards and forwards, but are you born again?
That's
you know,
that's
is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Mm-hmm. Are you being filled anew daily? A fresh anointing. You know, we need a fresh anointing. I know I do. I get in trouble when
the Lord just gave me an example of really what y'all talking about. You know, many preachers will get up and use the Bible to get offering for adult people, right? So they're using God's word with selfish motive.
Yeah.
It's still His word, but it's selfish motive. Deceive the people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how many times I hear guys out at work, things will come up on TV and they'll say, oh yeah, you know, that Brother Copeland or whatever, you know, they'll talk about them asking for money, always asking for money. And I said, well, here's the bottom line. You give because God tells you to. And you have to understand that. All you see is a lot of what you've heard and you've seen on TV about these people who have done that. But it's not like that with a lot of the people. So in keeping with what you were talking about, you give as God instructs you.
What I'm pointing out is they can say the word, but saying it in the truth.
Right, which right. is in love. Come
That's
on.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's not in love, it's not the truth.
It's like the Holy Spirit will quicken you if you need to give to a ministry or wherever it is you need to give, not because you're coerced into.
I'd like to say something about what you said, that there are people out there that criticize prosperity teachings, and you know, Jesus,
all because they just don't understand.
No, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
It's called the love of money.
That's it.
That's what it's called, and it's fascinating to me. Of all the glorious revelations that all of us have enjoyed, that's the only thing they hear is when He takes up an offering.
Oh. And He doesn't ever talk about money except on Fridays. He says it's offering day, and He doesn't. Mm-hmm.
The only reason they hear that is because they're hearing their God call them.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Which the love of money is the root of all evil. Boy, it will destroy your life.
It's a jealousy issue, too. Yeah,
no. Jealousy is poverty.
So
yeah. Jealousy is poverty. Envy and jealousy is poverty.
Mm-hmm. Being so concerned that someone has something that you don't have.
And back when Phil said, you know, if God tells you to give, you give. And if you're listening to God, the other thing you'll be interested in.
They will come in.
Father, do you want me to give or not? Yes. How much? And then it don't matter what else you said, because it's you and God doing this. Mm-hmm. So we accuse you. Go ahead.
Take it down to another foundation. You give because you love. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And so if you love someone, you obey them. Mm-hmm. So He says, give to that Mexico mission. You say, okay, how much? Why? You love the mission? You love the missionaries? In a way you do, but you love the one. The one. And I have tried over and over to express that to people. You give because you love. That's don't good. Give because you owe. Don't pay your tithe.
Yes.
Don't give because you're expected to or somebody guilted you into it. Give because you love.
1 Corinthians 13 would prove that, would it?
Yes.
You know, there's a magnitude to the point that people say, I pay the tithe. Well, then they're doing that out of obedience, not love. Mm. And people say, I've been giving tithe for 15 years and I'm still the same place financially. You're paying tithe, that's why.
Well, God
not giving.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right,
and it's becoming a works thing, too.
That's it.
Not under grace. You're now over here under works trying to pay God to do something for you, basically. And that's not going to happen.
Faith,
He's already given it to you.
Faith and love, yeah. Right? And love. So, like this point out, so it's not going to grow. It's not going to multiply.
This is so sad. But they take it from an act of worship to a bill. They reduce it to a bill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how... That's kind of like taking a wife and turning her into a prostitute.
Mm. Well,
Brother says,
That's plump, but that's fat.
It's fat.
It's pretty low down. And forgive us, Lord, if we've ever done that.
We're so blessed, aren't we, to have this insight.
Yes, sir. Yeah. God is
thank
good.
You, Lord.
God is good.
Your child can't pay you.
Yeah, come on.
Do you say, Gianna?
That's right.
Here's how much you owe me this week.
Sure don't.
Number one, she doesn't owe you. She's family. Number two, she has no way to pay it. There's no way to pay it. Mm-hmm. And we have no way to pay God back.
Yeah.
No way. That's why I gave, because he knew we couldn't pay.
Yeah. Boy, that's good. That's good. What kind of father would do that? Not our father.
Not our father. Mm-mm.
And Jesus is a proof that we can pay. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
My. I just want to take that in. It's so good.
Sorry. Very exciting.
Jesus, he gave Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, God didn't become a father until Jesus died. Mm. You know, he was God, and there was the Word, and there was the Holy Spirit. And then once that seed went in the ground, and then the firstborn was raised up in glory, hallelujah. God, the firstborn of the dead, he said, now I can have my family. He says, now you've gone from the Word to a son. Hallelujah.
This day have I begotten thee.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Begotten thee.
And then too. And we're in him. Hallelujah. Okay, what was the last scripture I gave? Forgive me. Isaiah?
I was supposed to read Isaiah 12, 4 and 5. Oh, so I'm going to do that now.
Thank you.
And then that's day. What day? Today. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things.
Yes,
this have. Is known in all the earth.
That's a wonderful, that's what we've been doing. The scripture is what we've been doing. It's all done.
And what we're doing is also Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, that means he heard, and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, you know, that respected him, and that thought upon his name. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Can you imagine what's going on in heaven right now? There are books of remembrances being written about these meetings that we hold and other meetings and other brothers and sisters that are gathering to celebrate, lift up the name. Hallelujah. There's so many wonderful things going on in heaven. There's glorious worship going on all the time. It's more than I can... This is what we're talking about before you got here, that when you come into the presence of the Lord and your body begins to feel kind of heavy and you can't move. I don't know if you've had this experience. I have. I'm sure you guys have. I don't know. And you can't hardly move and you can hardly talk. And all your just tears come out, and that's the only thing that speaks is just your tears, because he's holy and he's perfect and glorious. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:28-29. Sister Nancy.
After one of the ungodlies, the consuming fire.
Go on and read it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, we praise you.
Praise you.
Praise you, you're a holy God. Yes, ma'am.
Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Hallelujah. And the thing I want to focus on, there's so much to look at. I know he's a consuming fire. He will burn out the dross in your life. But it says, let us have grace. Mine says grace. I think yours said something different.
Show gratitude.
Yeah. It says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. And how do you serve God acceptably? In truth and in spirit. It says, with reverence, with respect. We need to have awe of Him. He is awesome. And we need to be in awe of Him. And godly fear. We have to have great respect for Him. The worship is holy. The Word is holy. His presence is holy. And I guess the next scripture is 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 5. I told you how to feel. Who wants to read that? Meredith, have you found it?
Mm-hmm. I have it. I can read it.
Could you read that, please?
For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer.
Praise God. More fellowship, more closeness, more coming together. Hallelujah. Okay. And I had another one. I had Jonah 2:9. But because I've got two more pages, can we just go to Psalm 65:8, please? Now we're coming into the awe of God. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the mornings and evenings to rejoice. Hallelujah.
So when the morning is over,
it says, thou makest the outings of the morning, yeah, when the morning is over, evenings to rejoice. Some people get depressed at night, and they feel the heaviness, and that's when the enemy comes to bombard them with depression or just lies. They're not good enough. All the mistakes they made during the day. Hallelujah, that we can draw close to our Savior. We can draw close to our friend Jesus. Yeah. Our friend, the Holy Spirit. Okay, now Genesis 28:17. Por favor. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is dirt, and this is the gate of heaven, the house of God. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first.
You know what Bethel means?
The house of God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Jacob, you know, it's funny, if we're reading the Bible and we're not seeing Jesus in everything pretty much, then we need to read it different. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus, because there's different levels in the Bible. There's a historical element to it, which will feed your intellect, basically. But there's another level, which is where it begins to reveal Jesus. Like Joseph, you know, loved by his father, hated by his brothers. You know, he went into the pit, just like Jesus did, and God rose him from the dead. You know, he exalted him above everyone, like Joseph was exalted. But Jesus is everywhere, if you'll look for him. You got to seek the Lord, because we need to be in awe of him, because he's worthy. Please.
It was a holy place. When he went to sleep, it was rocks and trees and grass and dirt. But he had an encounter
with God.
With God.
Yeah.
He saw that ladder or staircase going into heaven, angels going up and down, and he thought, oh, where am I? This must be the house of God. So if you turn over to John chapter 1, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these. Here's the kicker. And Jesus said to Nathanael, Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. He said, You're going to have the same kind of experience Jacob had.
Yeah.
You're going to see that staircase or that ladder and the angels ascending and descending. And then if you tie that with what John has taught us, Hebrews chapter 1, are they not all ministering spirits sent for the heirs of salvation?
Yes. So exciting.
And it's holy of awe.
Yeah.
When you have a glimpse into heaven,
yeah,
you can't just turn around and go back and play cards some more.
Tell it.
All stops.
Yeah.
In your life.
Yeah.
In your life.
Yes. Yes.
And you're forced, if I may use that word, not by an outside force, but by your own acknowledgement of God, you're forced to stop and look at God and fall on your face and worship.
Hallelujah.
That response comes forth whether you want it to or not. I mean,
that's right. If you have the Holy Spirit, it does. And like you're saying, those that are in darkness, it doesn't affect them at all.
True.
They could be in the very presence of God Almighty.
Yeah.
But if they're in darkness, they don't even realize.
Yeah, which they are all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But the God of this world blinds the minds of the unbelieving. Else the light would shine on them.
But I'm sorry to say, I have known Christians. I have been in the presence of Christians. And you start sharing these things, these magnificent things, these precious things. It does not affect them one way.
True.
At all. It doesn't affect them.
It's true. Like throwing a rock at a wall and it just bounces right back.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard Pastor Keith Moore share this. He said, one time he asked the Lord, why do you get such revelation to his wife and him? Why do you give us such wonderful revelation and people been in the Bible long enough and they don't have it? And the Lord, because y'all value it and respect it. And that's why so many things come out here in this Bible study, because we value and respect the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. My goodness. And I tell you what, I'd rather be in a church of five where God is reverenced than be in a congregation of 8,000 and the pastor's doing drugs in the New York City apartment. Hmm. Teaching out of a book that isn't this one.
Isn't this book.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
My. And you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, because the whole time I was putting this together, that was the point of the Lord. He says, I want the fear of the Lord back in the church. I want the reverential awe of me. I want them to be consumed with me. I just felt the Father's heart for burning for his kids. You know, his man.
Yep.
And so,
we do the same thing for our children too. We yearn that they have the insight that we have about things of God. Mm-hmm. And so many times when they grow up, they see you later. Because we know what that Word and Jesus has done for us.
Yeah, yeah.
It took us that song that took out Mary Clay.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mary Clay what meant, but I knew what Barnard means.
That's pretty gross. Thank you.
He took it out.
Hallelujah. He breaks it down to your level. So you can get it.
I don't know if the Mark played one way, but we have one arm.
Right.
You may have my reclaim, but I'm a He took me out. That's the point.
I'm not there anymore.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. That's good, Gian. That's very good. Gian, isn't God good? Yeah, you better know. Glory to God. Okay, excuse me. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we better not You talked about earlier about the pastors get to a place where they're ministering to the people. Oh, it's all about them getting recognized, how good they are, how famous they are. They have lost the respect of who they're ministering to and what they're ministering.
Yeah.
Which none of it is their glory.
Well, that's what the Lord was saying in Ecclesiastes. You lost your first love. Like, I believe Sister Kelly was saying that. That he's not trying to be mean. He's just having a conversation with his people.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you lost your first love. You're going to hell now. No, he's saying, make the adjustment. Return to me.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to me.
Well, I don't know if it was that particular time when she was talking about that, but she was saying, you know, and his correction and him adjusting you is not supposed to be taken as meanness. It's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be a sweet time when you realize I messed up, or, you know, whatever area specifically it was where you screwed up. You know, there's a sweet time waiting for you to get adjusted. Because he wants to be in fellowship with you. He doesn't want there to be anything that's standing in between you, because he can't help you with that.
Any good parent's going to train your child. There's an enemy out here that if you don't stay in a protected zone, he's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God loves us, and he teaches us, stay in my protection. Stay in the protection zone so the devil can kill you or destroy you.
Mm-hmm. When you use that word adjustment, it makes me think of going to the chiropractor.
I do.
And when you go, I don't know about modern day, but years ago when you went to the chiropractor, they did an adjustment, and you know what? They touched you.
They
touched you with their hands. They pushed and pulled and touched and whatever needed to be done. And the same way when we go through an adjustment with the Lord, he's touching.
Wow.
He's touching us.
Wow.
You can't go through an adjustment with the Lord without him touching you.
But with gladness, not receive it as ow, ow, ow. Like, you know, being, you know, wondering if something's going to break when he's adjusting it.
But even, you know, if I reach to touch John, I love him. I reach to touch him, and if he draws back, which he could.
I believe if people are perceiving God's correction as meanness, that's not God who they're hearing.
It's the condemnation they're hearing.
And the pride.
It's the shame. Yeah.
God does not use fear to correct his children. And that what you're all talking about is fear of, I'm going to reject you, you don't please me.
And he corrects you through his word. So, I mean, you have to get in his word for you to know that it's him to begin with. Because if you're not in here and you're not listening, the only thing you're going to be hearing is outside. The only thing you're going to be hearing is the enemy talking to you. Because you're not putting yourself in the place of being able to hear.
Yeah.
Those who hear it gets more.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a word.
Amen.
Those who have more.
That's right.
Don't have one. Don't have it.
And that works with the anointing too.
Yes, ma'am.
If you are out witnessing, the Lord will increase the anointing in your life for it. Bless God.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I? Oh. Deuteronomy 10:21. It just never stops. It's so good. He's so good.
Yes.
All right, who wants to read?
I'll read. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes.
Hallelujah. He is your praise. I just want to focus on that. He's your praise. People think, oh, I'm going to praise God. Yeah, but he's the one that reveals himself to you so that you will praise him. If you look for him, you'll find hallelujah, because he's in you. Glory to God.
That's right.
And now 28:58, Deuteronomy 28:58. want to get into the spirit of honor and reverence. Liz, can you read it, Pastor Liz?
If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God.
His name is honored. His name is honored. Hold on a second, let me see. His name is honorable.
Amen.
34:12. And I'm going to read this one. Deuteronomy 34:12. It reads, and it's the last verse of the book of Deuteronomy. And in all that mighty hand, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. God is huge. God is big. He's got a mighty hand to save. He'll never, like you're saying, you know, when Jacob had that encounter with God, you know, it's interesting when he had that encounter with God and he, you know, wrestled with him and he said, you know, I won't let you go till you bless me. And it said he touched his hip and he limped the rest of his life. I heard a Jewish rabbi say that the thigh signifies the most intimate place. It's the thigh in Judaism or Jewish tradition. The thigh is the most, more than any other part on a man, it's his thigh. Mm. And that's where God touched him. Never forgot that he's one with, you know, he's his God. And that he's blessed him. And he changed his name. Hallelujah. To Israel. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be excellent among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think that's another thing that that people, sometimes we don't enter into his presence because we're not still and just think about him and just focus all of our thoughts on him. That's part of seeking him. That's part of entering into the rest of the Lord, is thinking on him. So that's the message. The message is walk in the fear and the reverential awe of God, walk in the wisdom of God, and be in thanksgiving.
I think the last point you made was so nice. You know, when I come home from work, I could just go outside and work, and this is the inside of my being convinced that she can fellowship with me. But I'm too busy. I come in, I have to get a drink of water, go back outside and work. Then I go back in the office and work. And she says, I said, no, waiting to fellowship with me. And that's the point you were just made. Unless you take time, your life, and say, I heard a fellowship with you, Father. You miss that relationship, that fellowship, in the purity. You'll never know until you stop. You get intimate with God. And you talk about that. It's because you stopped and you got the, where you could get love between the Father and you going back and forth. And once you open that door, that love hit you. Whoa! That purity. It's nothing like that.
There's like that.
Nothing like that when you open that door and he's able to love you.
Yes.
That pure love.
No man, no child, no nothing.
That's right.
Compares.
That's right.
Oh, you're a holy God. Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being the most wonderful daddy anyone could ever have. Keep us safe on the ride home tonight. And thank you for this fellowship that you've ordained. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm supposed to lay hands and bless everyone.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Father, your planned blessings for Elizabeth, in Jesus' name be manifested. Your planned blessings for Elizabeth be poured out on her in Jesus' name. Father, your planned blessings for Gianna be poured out on her in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Your plan, blessing, be poured out on Miss Nancy in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
I will make it happen, daughter. You get, because I am going to make it happen. I heard your request, but I will do 10 times what you ask. In Jesus' name. And my son, I am pleased with what you do, but I got some things I want to teach you. And at first, you're going to pull back, but I know you. So I will make you take those steps in glory.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
The blessings shall flood in your life. Blessings shall flood in your life. And I have forgotten you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know you before you were born.
That's right.
And the day you were born, I had a big old smile on my face.
Yes. Because
I knew what you were going to be when I finished with you.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
My darling. It's been such a precious time. You brought great joy to my heart. Oh, daughter, the intimate joy I have with you cannot be expressed in English language. I have to tell it to you in tongues. In occupa pasicio, in alomba baida maketita baida, ito to maida mana, sada hajima udua, ito to. As you breathe, and when you wake up this morning, I can smile on my face because I know I'm going to hear from you, daughter. You just bring great joy to me, great pleasure, and the things you put on my list in heaven, I've already done them, and they will manifest in this earth. And the anointing on you will increase. And you'll be asked to go here, and you'll be asked to go there. But daughter, please don't accept unless I tell you, because if you do, it will hurt. You'll be hurt.
Praise you, Jesus.
You know, devil's gonna try to pull you away for big things, big shows. But I didn't call you to big shows for yourself. I called you to big shows to exalt my son.
Hallelujah.
So
hallelujah.
Let me lead you, and you will walk in that glory. Yes. And so many people will try to exalt you, and there, and here, and there, and there. But daughter, I got plans that they can't even touch.
Hallelujah.
So walk in my plan,
hallelujah.
And you will enjoy your life to its fullness.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you try to do it your way and their way, it won't be satisfying to you. And right now, you know my satisfaction. You know what pleases me. You know I'm happy with you. So stay in that
thank
realm,
you,
and things will work out.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Financially, there's a large change coming. It's not a negative change. It's going to be a large increase.
Hallelujah.
That your husband's going to say, I don't understand this. Tell me, it's okay. I've got a big father.
Thank you, Jesus.
That was a hard one for me to learn, but God walked me through it. Because, you know, I was raised in a home where the husband is a provider. And when I felt like I was failing Elizabeth, not providing everything she liked and wants, and I wanted to give her and all that. And when I got laid off that time for, what, 6 months, wasn't it? Do you remember? Maybe it's because you don't, but I do. And I was not a provider. I was laid off. And God kept us for 6 months, and in the 6 months, every bill was paid on time. We were never late on one bill.
Thank you.
I didn't work for 6 months. And the minute the bank account went low, I got off. I mean, it was. We can't pay no more bills with no money, and I got dropped.
Praise God.
But I learned that I'm not I'm not John B. Family's provider.
Amen.
I'm not the Church of Beloved provider. I'm not Victory Temple of Grand Prairie. I'm not the provider.
Yeah.
I'm just an overseer.
Yeah, right.
Or a director, if you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, God planned a, can I use a company? God planned a company in the earth, and he called John Beard's family. Phil Goodwin family. Brandon Love family. He titled it, but it's a company he wants to run through us.
Mm-hmm.
We're overseers and directors of that. We get help, get direction from him. We direct that company in the earth. And it's going to produce certain things, and he says it will produce. In our case, we are ministers of the gospel. So we produce a gospel to the human thing. Each company he put us in charge of, we are directing that, and it produces something for the kingdom of God. I mean, maybe love, maybe giving to the poor, maybe giving God money. Some people are just givers. That's their anointing. And so God invests in them with a bunch of things, money to give.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people give hope that they're so hopeful. You got to give me a break, will you? This is a hopeless. No, it's not. Look. Wait, they just get that gift.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Such a good Father. Wonderful lesson. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
And it challenged me at the same time. It's so much joy, but I feel challenged. You know, I can let God work through me more.
Yes. Yes.